directed me to preach this message called Let's Run. Let's Run is the words that God gave me at the start of the year. And the message is going to take just a little bit different of a turn from what kind of the way I thought it was going to go when I sat down to prepare this. At first, I sat down to prepare this because it was like an encouragement. All right, we know what God wants us to do. Let's get after it. Let's go do the thing that God has called us to. And there's truth to that, and we'll talk about that. But as I began to study this week and began to consider what God would have me to preach, He kind of redirected me a little bit. And the direction that we're going to go with this series really kind of answers this question: how can I move forward in life and in faith? Here's the question I'm going to ask you. Anybody in here ever felt stuck? Okay, a few people are honest. I have felt stuck before. How do I move forward when I feel stuck? Sometimes I'm stuck because maybe everything around me just kind of seems to be collapsing, and I don't feel like I can't do anything. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to go. Sometimes I'm stuck, and I use my weak little pickup truck. As I love my pickup truck, but it's weak. And what I mean by that is this, is that I came here when the parking lot was still filled with snow, and I didn't think I was ever going to make it out. If it weren't for one little gravel patch and me just going as fast as I could to keep it going and screaming into the road, and hopefully no one's going to hit me, I probably would never have made it up that little bit of an incline. Sometimes we get stuck because all we do is just spin our wheels. We can't gain any traction. Sometimes we get stuck, and you guys ever watch the cartoon Scooby-Doo? When Scooby-Doo got scared, he would start running, but all he would do is what we call Scooby-Doo-ing it. He would just spin his legs, and he wouldn't go anywhere. Sometimes that's the way we are in life. We get stuck. Sometimes we get our getting stuck is actually a result of that we know we got to go that way, but we keep looking this way. I want to preach a message from Genesis chapter 19, which is the first part of this series of Let's Run, how to move forward in life and in faith. I want to preach this message entitled, Don't Look Back. Don't look back. Listen to this statement, and it's going to kind of really drive our thought for today. God's deliverance always requires forward movement, never backward longing. God's deliverance always requires forward movement, never backward longing. We're going to be in Genesis 19, but Luke chapter 17, Jesus is speaking to a kind of a wide variety of people, followers, disciples, religious people who are questioning, and he makes this statement in verse 32 of Luke 17. He says, remember Lot's wife. Genesis 19 is the story of Lot and his family. It's the story that we would call the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. Matter of fact, the title of chapter 19 and over my scripture verses here in the Bible says, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you're not familiar with this chapter, you need to understand that Sodom and Gomorrah were two incredibly wicked cities. And by wicked cities, I would encourage you to read through chapter 19, and you will find out that probably their culture is not too far off of where our culture is today when it comes to issues of sexuality. Very sexually depraved cities. And God is about to judge these cities. Lot is Abraham's nephew. Lot and Abraham were moving together throughout the land, but they began, both of their houses and their possessions began to grow so much that they were fighting over, their servants were fighting over land. And so Abraham says, Lot, wherever you want to go, you go, and I'll take whatever's left. And Lot looks down and he sees this beautiful plain, these wonderful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the green grass, and he thinks, this is where my flock needs to be. And so he moves there. And he moves into the cities of wickedness. And finally it comes to a place where God says, I've had enough with this. And so God sends a couple angels to Abraham and tells him, I'm about to destroy those cities. And Abraham really begs God for God to spare it because for Lot's sake. And God, Abraham says, will you save it if there are 50 righteous people? And God says, yes, I would. And Abraham kind of works it all the way down for like, if there's just a handful of righteous people, would you spare this city? And we're going to find out that wasn't the case. And so the cities had to be judged by God. But God sent two messengers to Sodom where Lot was living and to give him a warning and said, hey, you got to get up and you got to leave because the city's about to be destroyed by God. And so what we have here in Genesis 19, by most people's account, is looking at Sodom and Gomorrah as a story of God's judgment upon depravity. And I think that most of us would say, yes, that's the story. That's what takes place here. But I want to suggest to you today that Genesis 19, as you would read it this week, and there are some very, there's some crazy stuff that happens here in Genesis 19. We'll talk about those later. But I'm going to suggest to you that Genesis 19 is more of a rescue story before it's a judgment story. Does judgment happen? Yes, it becomes a judgment story. But there is a rescue story here. You're going to find out that God is acting in mercy, but time is very short. As you're going to see how this applies to our life today as well. You're going to find out in Genesis chapter 19 that Lot is saved, but it's not without struggle. It's not without struggle. Jesus warns the people who is listening to him in Luke chapter 17. He gives them a warning and he references Lot's wife, and he doesn't do so to give a biography to say, well, she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. That's her story. No, he actually shares it as a cautionary tale. He said, remember Lot's wife, and you need to understand what she went, what became of her because of her actions. You see, we're going to relate today in the message Sodom as things that we should be running away from and not looking back at. So those could be things like your past. Anybody in here have a past that they're not real happy with? Guess what? We're going to say this. Don't look back at it. Anybody have any things they're currently struggling with that they need to move past? This is what we're going to say. Don't look back at those things. This is what we're going to get to is this, is that the danger is not just Sodom behind us. Think about that. Lot's wife turned to look at Sodom and she turned into a pillar of salt. I'm going to tell you that she did not turn to a pillar of salt because of it just simply being Sodom behind her. But she turned to a pillar of salt because of the attachment within her. And so I make this statement. The danger is not just Sodom behind us, but attachment within us. And so we're going to want to say this. We want to move forward in our life and in our faith from our points of failure to our points of difficulties to our points of just struggling. We want to move forward to what God has for us. But if we are going to move forward with God, we need to look at this passage of Scripture today and realize that Genesis 19 shows us how to move forward in our life and in our faith. But then it also shows us what happens if we don't. What happens if I don't move forward? But we've got to get to this. We can talk about this is what happens, judgment. But guys, can I tell you something? One of the things that you will find if you study the book of Revelation is that God's judgment, meaning this, that wrath poured out, doesn't make people go running to God and say, oh God, I love you, I'm sorry. If you read the book of Revelation, you will see those that the wrath of God is poured out upon, they actually become angrier and angrier and angrier. They shake their fist at God. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says this, that it is the goodness of God that leads all men to repentance. Meaning that it's the goodness of God that draws men to Him. So what you're going to find out is that God is first good before He unleashes judgment. But we have to figure out, how can I move forward so that I don't have to deal with what happens if I don't? My failure to be obedient. So this is where we're going to pick up. We're actually going to pick up in verse 15. Our first point to you today is this, is that if you want to move forward in your life and in your faith, you have to move forward in wisdom. It is about moving forward in wisdom. Look at verse 15. I'll show you the wisdom that is here in verse 15. At daybreak, the angels urged Lot on, "Get up, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." Do you see the wisdom? The wisdom is this: the city's about to be punished, but you get your family and you get up. Here's the reality, church, and this is what we need to understand, is that Jesus Christ did not come to this world to condemn this world, because the world is already condemned. Judgment is coming upon this world one day, and that's not preaching hell, fire, and brimstone. It is just simply making a statement of fact, is that sin will be judged. But before there is judgment, there is a rescue attempt, and that is the day and age in which we live. God, in His riches of mercy, is calling out to rescue His people today. Here is wisdom. At morning, as morning dawned, the angels urged Lot. Do you know where wisdom comes from? Ladies, you're doing a study on the way of wisdom, aren't you? On your Monday nights. You should learn this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That when I began to reverence God in all aspects of my life, I began to develop wisdom. So, like, for example, when you say, "I want to know, how do I get out of this situation here?" First, turn your attention to what God would have or what God would say about that situation. I want to know, how can I have the best relationship possible? What does God say about that? I want to know how I can get out of this sin that I seem to be stuck in. What does God say about that? I want to know how I can get the devil off my back. Wisdom says reference or reverence God in that situation. Because when you begin to move forward in wisdom, that is in what the fear of the Lord has developed in you. When you begin to move forward in that, watch this. You are now moving in wisdom. And when you are taking steps in wisdom, and oh, by the way, I shared this in the first service. I want to make sure I get it with you. When you're trying to move forward in your life and in your faith, when you're trying to escape a past, when you're trying to escape a situation, when you're trying to escape a sin, there's no such thing of baby steps. Well, I want to get out of this bad relationship. I want to get out of this situation. I want to get away from this sin. Now, the Bible says, flee. Flee. Run! I know that this is a proper concept, but I want to kind of destroy maybe a bad application of the proper statement. You ever heard it's one step at a time? Okay, there's truth to it, right? It is one step at a time, but can I tell you something? Can you make those steps into a run? Because sometimes we say one step at a time, and we take the one step at a time because we still want to linger. You follow me? We still want to linger and give excuse for why we're still attached or caught up in that situation. I'm going to tell you this, is that you need to run. We need to run together the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's run. But if you're moving forward in wisdom, wisdom recognizes urgency. In this verse, verse 15, it says, at daybreak, or at dawn, or as morning dawned. Dawn means the final moment has arrived. The final moment has arrived for Lot and his family. Wisdom is not just knowing danger exists. It's actually responding to it. I know that fire's hot. I'm just going to go ahead and walk right into it. No, wisdom says, I know the fire is hot. I'm going to do everything I can to avoid it. But we've got to do it quickly, with urgency. Wisdom recognizes urgency. Lot hesitated. Lot hesitated. He struggled here. It says there in verse 16, but he hesitated. Lot had the information of judgment, but he did not take any action. Do you know, here's what I think is important. A lot of us know the wrong and the right. We know what we're supposed to leave and what we're supposed to run to. But there's oftentimes delay. You ever been there? You know what's right, but you're slow. One step at a time, okay? We delay, and delay reveals misplaced priorities. Proverbs 27 and verse 1 would encourage us in this way. Don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Make sure that you are focused on the right things. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 will say this, that we need to make the most of the moment and the time which we have. You see, here's what we understand when we talk about moving forward in wisdom, is that wisdom moves when God urges. So when you feel as though God is directing and God is telling you to do something, you say, well, how do I know when God is telling me what to do? Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment. But when God urges, wisdom moves. Why? Why? And this is important. Opportunity has an expiration date. The opportunity to receive God's mercy does have an expiration date. The opportunity to go in the direction and to answer the call that God has on your life does have an expiration date. I had a lady once in a church that I pastored. She told me, she goes, yeah, 40 years ago, I really felt, she said this, 40 years ago, I felt like God was calling me to the mission field. And I just didn't go. I looked at her and says, why not now? And her response was, I'm just too old. Guys, I need you to understand something. Opportunity does have an expiration date. Sometimes we know the wise thing to do, but we struggle to do it. Amen? Anybody here says, I know the right thing to do at times, but it's a struggle? Here's what I want to give you, right? Is that when we fail to act in wisdom, God's mercy steps in. So not only do we move forward in wisdom, I want you to move forward in mercy. How do I move on with my life and my faith? How do I get to the point where God is moving me to? It is about moving forward in mercy. If you look in verse 16, and I want you to look closely at verse 16. It says here, now, Lot, I'm going to put this in here, Lot failed to heed the wisdom. Heed the wisdom, right? What does it say that he did there? But he lingered. He hesitated, right? Do you notice something about that verse? That verse 16 is a long verse, isn't it? But look how short that one sentence is. But he lingered, or he hesitated. And then what's the punctuation mark? Period. He hesitated, period. It almost gives you this illusion that he wasn't sure that he was even going to make the move. I hear wisdom, but I don't know what's going to take place. Lot lingered. Can I show you what God does? Look at verse 16. But he hesitated, he lingered, because of the Lord's compassion for him. No. You got to read that right. It almost, if you read it quickly, you would say, well, he hesitated because the God had compassion on him. No. There's a period there. He lingered, he hesitated, period. In his hesitation, though, God has what? Compassion on him or for him. I want you to see what happens. The men grabbed his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and they brought them out and left them outside the city. Here's what I want you to understand. There is a shock sometimes to the mercy of God. Where Lot lingered, God grabbed. Where we have lingered, where we have hesitated, God has grabbed us that time and said, "You've got to move. You got to get out of here." What does that tell me? It tells me this. Salvation in this situation for Lot and our situation was and is initiated by God, not Lot or by us. Here's what I love about mercy. David wrote it this way. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Can you help me with this? If mercy is actively following David, actively following me, we can make this statement. Mercy is not passive. Mercy intervenes. Mercy interrupts hesitation. Matter of fact, I want you to understand how mercy works. If it were not for the mercy of God, you would be consumed before the dawn of the day. Jeremiah wrote that. It's because of your mercies that they're new every morning that I'm not consumed. God's mercy is not passive. Matter of fact, David writes this in Psalms 103 and verse 10. He says this. And I paraphrase it just a little bit. He says, "You did not deal with me according to my sins." Anybody in here grateful that God has not dealt with you according to your sins, your faults, your failures? I can tell you that I am so grateful. He dealt with him with mercy. We're saved not by works of righteousness, but by his Spirit and the mercy that he gives. You see, here's what we need to understand about moving forward in wisdom. We've got to hear the word. We've got to hear what God has said to us and act on it. But here's what it is about moving forward in mercy, is that God's mercy moves us when we won't even move ourselves. I love that. I love that, that he moves us. And can I tell you something? That God's mercy in your life, and by the way, if you're not consumed, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? There's not a perfect person in here. We are sinners. We stumble. We fall all the time. And we are grateful for God's mercy. Amen? But I need you to understand something, church. Mercy is not approval. It's rescue. Mercy is not approval. It's rescue. So if you've had consequences spared from you, if you've not had to deal with some of the results of your poor decisions or things of that nature, or if you've been able to move out of your past and you're a few steps ahead, listen, that is a rescue that God has given in your life. This is what we see here in the story. Mercy gets them moving. This brings us to our third point, but the word gives direction. And by the way, we will be preaching next week about how that if we're going to run, we need to run to the right direction. But I need you to see this, how we have to move forward in the Word. That we have to move forward in the Word. Look at verse 17. As soon as the angels got them outside. Oh, by the way, can I just show you something here? Do you notice how that in verse 15 there, it says, the men grabbed his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters and so forth. And then verse 17, it says, as soon as the angels. It gives you a little clue about who angels are. Okay, not just men as in human mankind, but this is how God created them. So some of the little cherubs that look so cute, little baby-like with little wings and stuff like that. No. That's not the picture of an angel in the scriptures. That's another message for another time, but I just want to point that out to you, give you something to think about. And it says, as soon as the angels got them outside, one of them said, now watch this, run for your lives. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere on the plain. Run to the mountains or you will be swept away. We need to learn to move forward in the Word. Move forward in the Word. God, the angels were God's messengers. So when they said this, run! Don't look back. Or escape! Don't look back. Don't stop. When they said that, they were sharing God's word. People, can I, young people, I want to challenge the young people here, okay? And again, this is a challenge to everybody, but I really want to, I mean, if you're in your 20s, would you listen to me on this real quick, okay? God's word is very clear on topics that we deal with today. God's word is incredibly clear. Matter of fact, the word that was given to Lot here, let me show you this, was not muddy. I think Lot knew that he was supposed to, was he supposed to walk or was he supposed to run? He was supposed to run. I don't think Lot says, well, could you define that run? Are we talking about a sprint? Are we talking about a jog? Are we talking about a speed walk? Are we talking about just a casual walking down the path? No, this says, run. Pretty clear. Where were they supposed to look? Forward. He said this, don't stop. Don't stop. It's pretty clear. I don't see the confusion of the word. Today, we act like, well, there's the word of God, but we've really got to figure out what's it really saying here about marriage and about identity and about your sexuality. What's it saying about how you're supposed to work, how you're supposed to live, how you're supposed to move? What's it really saying? No, God's word is clear. But you know what happens? Like Lot's wife, we want to keep looking back. We want to keep looking back. And can I give you this warning about looking back? Looking back is not about curiosity. It's about attachment. Looking back is equal to longing. So when you look back at the things that you used to do, the past that you came from, it's not curiosity, it's attachment. And if you write down, if you don't take a lot of notes, if you do, but if you do write down something, would you write this down? The heart follows the eyes. Does that make sense to you? The heart follows the eyes. It's probably why we were taught that song, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." Because it pulls our heart. Lot's wife, she heard the word, but she ignored the warning and became a memorial of disobedience. I'm going to put something before you that I want you to dwell on. What you go back to may cost you once you were saved to become. What you go back to may cost you what you were saved to become. If we're going to move forward, we've got to move forward in God's word. David wrote it this way, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's your word, God. Your word, God, that directs us. And can I just say this? God's word does not need interpretation. Only obedience. We spend so much time. What did God mean? What possibly... Just obey. He says, don't have any other gods before him. Don't make anything greater than God. He says, don't take the name in vain. Then don't walk around acting like a Christian, but not or not being a Christian. I don't know. You know what I mean? Be who you say you're supposed to be. Don't put the name of God on you if you're not walking that way. Go and make disciples. Well, what does God actually mean by go? I think what he meant is, Pastor, you do it. Leadership team, you do it. The church staff, you do it. I'm pretty good right where I'm at. Any of you ever heard God give you direction before? You felt that in the spirit that God wants you to move? You ever delay? Can I give you a truth about delayed obedience? Delayed obedience is actually disguised disobedience. Even with clear instructions, I need you to hear me on this. Even with clear instructions, fear can still challenge our faith. Amen? Watch, I want you to see something, how God works. Gives us wisdom, but sometimes we hesitate. So mercy steps in. Amen? Gives us His word, but sometimes fear can still cause us to kind of challenge what we know, challenge our faith. So even though we have His word, you know what happens? Grace steps in. Grace moves in. So how do we move forward in our faith and in our life? It's about moving forward in grace. Moving forward in grace. He acknowledges in verse 19, your servant, this is Lot's words, your servant has indeed found favor with you. He recognizes the grace that he has found. And then he admits his struggles. I cannot escape to the hills. Grace was acknowledged. His faith was struggling. Lot believes in the favor and the grace of God, but he struggles to trust fully. You ever found yourself in that situation? Where you just know that God is working, but you're struggling to move forward? That's exactly where grace has come in. Grace meets us, but does not lower the call. I put a quote up here like this. Grace is not lowering the standard. It's God's lifting you. Grace is not you staying put when God has said to move forward and God's saying, well, it's okay, I'm going to give you favor right where you are. No, no, no. Grace is saying this. I'm not lowering my standard, so what I've got to do is I've got to come and help you. It is grace answers this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We could not reach the standard of God. So what happens when we could not reach up to God? He sent down His Son, Jesus, Emmanuel, to be God with us, to bring us up. Lot doesn't think he can make it to the mountains, so he asked if he could stay in Zoar. The city of Zoar was a permitted place for Lot to stay. But you know what? God wanted Lot in the mountains. Lot got to the mountain, but you know what? He didn't go there because God directed him. He went there because later on, you read through the chapter, he went there because of fear. Fear of what was going to take place to him because of who he was. And this time, his move to the mountains actually was a pretty big mistake, because he isolated himself, and his daughters looked at him as an isolated man in the mountains and realized that his lineage was going to be over. So they got their father drunk. I'll let you read the rest of the story. And from that, Lot's grandsons, Moab and Ammon is what we call him. Moab, the Moabites, and the Ammonites were created, brought into existence, and they were continually thorns in the flesh to the nation of Israel. Sometimes God's going to let you stay where you want to stay, but it's going to cost you. We need to come to the place that when the calling of God to move forward seems difficult, we need to understand, as Paul found out and he wrote about, that God's grace is sufficient for you and me. You see, here's what we need to emphasize. What you need to wrestle with today is that moving forward has to be done in grace, because grace will strengthen your obedience. And what I love about grace is that grace carries weak faith forward. But here's what we need to understand. Though you receive the grace of God and grace sustains us, the urgency to go, to run, still remains. So, grace sustains, but urgency remains. And then that leads us to this, is that not only are we been moving forward in wisdom and in mercy and in the Word and in grace, we have to move forward in haste. Look at verse 22. The CSB that I'm reading from says, "Hurry up, run to it, for I cannot do anything until you get there." The other one says, "Escape there quickly. I can do nothing until you arrive." There is an urgency of obedience in our life, and I want to suggest this, that there are things that God wants to do in our life, as individuals, as families, as a church in this community. But until we move to where God has called us to move to, He will not do anything. So there is an urgency to obedience. At the moment, judgment was paused for rescue. But I need you to understand something. In God's kingdom, in His rule and reign, time matters. He's waiting for Lot to get away before He pours out His judgment. God restrains just for a moment. And this isn't what you need to understand, is that God's restraint reveals His heart. God's restraint reveals His heart. Meaning this, that there is rescue before wrath. That there is protection before punishment. Anybody grateful for protection before punishment? Anybody grateful that God was rescuing us before His wrath? It's why Peter writes this. He says, God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men would count slackness, but He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want the Lord to come back, and every time I pray, "Lord Jesus, come quickly," my heart is further burdened for those who are lost. We look at Sodom and Gomorrah and say, man, those wicked people, those Sodomites, they got what they deserved. Why look at Sodom and Gomorrah as a judgment and not see that God would have rather rescued? And why not look at Sodom and Gomorrah and understand that those cities would have been spared if there was 50 righteous men? If there were 10 righteous men, God would have spared, withheld the judgment. Why not? Why don't we stop looking at the depravity of our country and, oh my goodness, there's much of it, is there not? Why don't we stop looking and saying, how dare they? And why don't we put the judgment back on ourselves and say this, why can't we be the righteous men and the righteous women that God has called us to so we can see our nation saved? Today, the writer of Hebrews writes, is the day of salvation. Isaiah 55:6 tells us this, to seek the Lord while He may be found. Why? Because some moments don't repeat. Why move forward in haste? Because God's urgency is mercy in motion. God's saying, hurry, run, escape, get going, flee. That's His mercy in motion. So church, here's the call that we have on us today. Remember Lot's wife. So let's review that. What did Lot's wife do? As Lot, his wife, and his two girls fled the city, her heart was attached to Sodom. And she looked back and she longed for all that she experienced there. She was attached to Sodom. Here's what's sad. Because she looked back, she stopped moving forward. What are you still looking back at? Oh, I know. We go to church on Sunday. You're going to leave. You're going to walk out those doors today. As soon as you get in your car, these are the words that are going to be in your mouth. I can't wait for next Sunday morning. This is what you're going to say. This is what you're going to do. You're going to move forward that way, right? No, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. We are people who are saved by the grace of God. At least I hope you are. We are people who are saved by the grace of God. And though we know He saved us, sin still pulls us. Not because sin has any power on us, because we give power to sin. And we look back and sometimes we long for things. It's kind of like this. You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Let me just step back one moment so I can give you this. Anybody in here ever did something you knew you weren't supposed to do? You ever long for something maybe the way something should used to have been, but it's not really? And what happens is that, maybe let's talk about, let's say keep it in the realm of sin. You've done something you shouldn't do. You feel shameful about it. Anybody? Please help me, because I know it's me. You feel guilty? What typically is your next step? Or what is the potential next step that we take? You know what happens to so many people? I've done something, I feel shame, and I feel guilty about it, so I go back to it. Am I right? I wasn't supposed to talk that way. I wasn't supposed to look at that. I wasn't supposed to drink that. I wasn't supposed to smoke that. I wasn't supposed to do this. I wasn't supposed to act that way. I feel horrible about it. And then in your flesh says, well, when was the last time you felt good? Am I making sense? Am I making sense? God's word doesn't want us to feel shame and guilt. Conviction, yes, but conviction calls us to our Father's knee. Conviction calls us to the cross. What are you still looking back at? What has God told you to leave? You see, when God called you to salvation, He says, leave sin. And He says, and move forward in what I've called you to. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, so that no man would boast. That's salvation by grace. But verse 10 says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we have not only been saved from sin, but we're saved to do the right thing. You have a direction. Where is God telling you to go now? Where is God telling you to go now? Again, it can be in the positive and it can be in the negative. It can be fleeing from something. It can be fleeing to something, running to something. But here's what you need to understand. Deliverance demands direction. And direction requires that we stop looking back at what God has already judged. Next week, our message will be running in the right direction, knowing where to run. But here's what I want to do in closing for you this morning. I want you to hear how to move forward and not look back. Here it is. Wisdom says go. Mercy says I'll help you. The word says don't look back. Grace says I'll sustain you. And haste says now is the moment. God did not call you out so that you could look back. He called you out so you could live. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? This is just for you to consider. There's no response needed from me. Are you stuck? you wondering what God, where God wants you to go, or maybe you know what he wants you to leave, but you just keep hanging on to something? There's some type of attachment. Maybe you know that you need to move forward in something, but you're struggling and you just don't know how to get there. Wisdom, mercy, God's word, his grace. Move with haste in those things. I want to give you a moment. The Bible says that today is the day. Hurry, run, move in what God has directed you to. If there's somebody here today that God is directing to leave something or to run to something, if God has spoken to you and you've been delaying your obedience, would you just like surrender that today? Maybe you're here today and you've been caught up in something and you can't get free and you want to break free. I want to do something with you. I know it's different than what maybe some of you guys are used to, but sometimes we need a physical representation of what we're doing, right? So I'm going to pray in just a moment. And when I pray, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And the altar up here is going to be open. And if there is something that you need to leave or something that you need to run to, something that you need to respond to God with properly, and today's the day to do that, I want this to be an exercise for us. I want you to come to the altar. You can kneel at the altar. You can stand at the altar. I want you up here. I want you to come up here and I want you to have a prayer with God and say, God, I'm leaving this here. I'm going to run where you would have me to go. I'm going to leave what you have told me to leave. And I'm going to run in your direction. I want you to come in just a moment and I want you to offer that to God. And just give it to him and let today be the day that you say, Lord, I'm running in your mercy. I'm running in your grace. I'm running in your word. Let today be that day that you find safety and that you don't look back. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. I would tell you this. Come up here and let me show you. Would you, I don't want to say me, but I'm sitting up here and saying, would you run up here and give your life to Christ today so you find safety? If you're that believer who's just struggling with something, would you run and leave it at the cross of Jesus Christ? Father, we're just going to give this few moments to you as we, not trying to pressure and not try to put anything on people, but we want to give people an opportunity to respond to what you have spoken to them. We believe that your word has spoken. Help us. Give us your mercy and grace. Let us realize it and let us move forward in it. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and just for a couple moments. I won't delay it any longer than I feel, but I want to give opportunity to. Heads bowed and eyes closed. There doesn't be anybody looking around. No one's looking at anybody else. If God has spoken to you and there's something that you need to let go of or you need to run to, something that you just need to make, today is a day of decision. If you're like that, would you step out now? People are already coming. Step out. What's God saying to you? The altar is open for you. Bring what it is and leave it. The only thing that you're going to pick up at this altar is whatever God has directed you to pick up and go with. What's God speaking to you? Step out. People are coming right now. God is speaking to you. Don't fight it. There's no judgment. I know that you're not used to this. You're not used to being called to the altar and having to have a response like this. But listen, sometimes we need to visualize what God wants us to do. Men, what is it that you're hanging on to that's holding you back? Ladies, what is it that's tripping you up? Young people, what is it that you need to let go of? Bring it and let it go. God is speaking. What's he calling you to? Man, I can remember when I was 7 or 8 years old standing, and I can see it. I was sitting on the left side to my dad as he was preaching, and I'm sitting there hearing him preach, and in my heart, I knew God was calling me to preach. He was calling me to be a pastor. And I'm so grateful that I stepped out of that altar, down to that altar. And I can still hear my dad praying with me. Jason, if that's what God has called you to, It's a good thing. Go get it. What's God saying? All I ask is that you hear His voice and you move forward with the ability that you receive from mercy and the ability that you receive from grace and the direction that you receive from the Word and the wisdom of God. And do it today. Father, we love you. Thank you for calling us out. You called us out and you set our feet on solid ground. Thank you for calling us to run with you. May we run this race with patience. May we run it with faithfulness. May we keep our eyes ever on you. We give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house this morning. Thank you guys so much for being here. 4:30, we have our study that'll be here, so remember that. There's no young adults tonight, so keep that in mind if you want to connect. Young adults, you're still invited to my house for Super Bowl party if you want to come to that. But anyhow, no Bible study there tonight for that. I think that's all the announcements I have for you. If there's anything that comes up, be in prayer this week as the floors are being done, that everything is done well, and we're going to get things moved back. But thank you guys so much. We'll see you later.